We'll start again on the Mishnah and Pei Gimel and Beis. We're dealing again in this chapter with what's included in a sale. 83b, Pei Gimel Amud Bet. The Mishnah in the middle of the page. The Mishnah teaches Hamocher Rosh Behem Agasa, the person sold the head of a big animal, like the head of a cow. So lo machar et haraglayim, the legs, the hind legs, are not included. Here it's so the hind legs are not included in the sale of the head. Machar et haraglayim, if he sold the legs, lo machar et harosh, the head is not included. Machar et hakaneh, he sold the lungs, lo machar et hakaveh, the liver is not included. Machar et hakaveh, if he sold the liver, lo machar et hakaneh, the lungs are not included. Aval bedaka, but in a small animal, you know, a thin animal like a goat, a sheep, machar es harosh, machar es haraglayim, when he sells the head, included in that are the feet. Machar es haraglayim, lo machar es harosh, if he sold the feet, though he did not include the head. Machar es hakaneh, machar es hakaveh, if he sold the lungs, he sold the liver with it. Machar sakavid lo machar sakana. If he sold the liver, the lungs are not necessarily included. Now the Mishnah moves on to the topic of ona'a. You know, taking advantage of somebody else, fooling him, fleecing him, false representation. So the Mishnah teaches like this, arba midos b'mochrin. There are four rules in terms of people selling. Machar lo chitin yafos. If I and Yaakov agreed that I was going to provide Yaakov with good wheat, and he paid me, you know, a nice amount of money for the good wheat, I delivered a box. He opens the box, v'nimtzu yafos ros. It turns out that it's bad wheat. So now alokeach yachol lavzerbo. So he was the one who was harmed by that change. So he can say I reject the deal. And he says, you know what, give me back my money, I'm giving you back the wheat. So let's say the price of wheat goes up. And I figure, you know what, I want to get this bad wheat back from him because I can now sell it to somebody else for even more. I can't do that because I'm the one, the seller, who, number one, you know, harmed him in the first instance by giving him bad wheat when he had, you know, ordered good wheat. And now I'm going to harm him a second time and pull it back and resell it to somebody else that I can't do. So what about if it's the other way? Ros, he had agreed to buy from me wheat. And it was an agreement he was going to buy bad wheat. So I said, okay, go to the granary, go take wheat. So he went, v'nimtzu yafos, he took from my granary good wheat. So I'm the one who was taken advantage of. I was the one harmed, the seller. So mocher yachol achzibo. The seller can change his mind. The buyer can't. Yeah.
In the first instance, if it was bad wheat and you return it because you don't want it, and you get your money back.
Yeah.
The guy who you returned it to is not allowed to sell it for a higher price?
No, he could. Then he could. Correct. So, but if the deal was for ra'os, v'nimtzu yafos, what in fact was delivered was good wheat. So mocha yachol achzibo. Once that's discovered that there was this switch, it's the seller who can change. Ros, let's say the deal was for bad wheat, but imtzu ros, and in fact it was bad wheat that was delivered. Yafos, the deal was for good wheat, but imtzu yafos, it was good wheat that was delivered. So ein echad mehem yachol achzibo, and nobody can change his mind. That deal was done. Shach matit, if what was ordered was reddish wheat. Nimtzeis levana, what was delivered was actually white wheat. So it's just another type of wheat, but they're both equally good. Levana v'nimtzeis shachmasis, what was ordered was white wheat, but now what was delivered was red wheat. Eitzim shel zayis, what was ordered was olive wood. V'nimtzeis shel shikma, what was delivered was sycamore wood. Shel shikma, what was ordered was sycamore wood. V'nimtzeis shel zayis, and what was delivered was olive wood. Yayin v'nimtzeis chometz, what was ordered was wine, what was delivered was vinegar. Chometz v'nimtzei yain, what was ordered was vinegar, what was delivered was wine. Shnei michom lazabo, each one can change his mind, because for each one it's no good. The buyer can say, I wanted wine, I didn't want vinegar. The seller can say, I was willing to sell wine, I wasn't willing to sell vinegar. So for each one there's a claim that I'm the one who got messed up. Therefore, each one has the ability to demand the money back and reverse the deal.
Obviously, the entire debate about what's considered superior and what's considered inferior is a judgmental call on what the person thinks, right?
So apparently not. There's objectively bad wheat.
And you don't need a third person to make that call?
Maybe there is a third person who makes the call, but there's an objective standard. This is bad wheat.
Okay.
Says the Gemara of Rav Chisda said like this. What happens if there's a difference in price? Machar lo shaveh chamesh. He had set a rule. We're going to see that. But he said, the lesson of the Amor of Chizda is really already in our Mishnah. So Rav Chisda said, Machar lo shaveh chamesh b'sheish. Let's say a man sells a book that is, the going price for this book is five, but he sold it to Yaakov for six. So Yaakov overpaid by a sixth. So we know the halacha is when you overpay by more than a sixth, the deal is reversed. Bitul mekach. V'hukar. And the book went up in price. V'amar al shmona. Now people are paying eight for this book. So minasana, who was the one who was harmed and was fleeced? Nisana lokeach, it was the buyer, because at the time of the buying, the price was five, so he should have been told to pay five. He ended up paying six. So lokeach yochel achzibo. If he decides, you know what, I overpaid, I don't want this, give me back my money, I'll give you the book, he can do that. So lo mocher, let's say the seller says, hey, you know, you overpaid me, so it never really was a deal, because you overpaid me. So now I want it back, because now I can sell it to somebody else for eight. That he can't do. Hashem do'amar le, because the buyer tells him like this. Ilu lo o nisan, lo ava machas hajachbach. If you wouldn't have been a mamzer, if you would have been a straight guy and done the right thing, charge me five. Would you have been able now to change your mind? Of course not, because it would have been mine. I would have bought it. So now, hashad o nisan, now that you took advantage of us and you fooled me and you made me pay too much, and now machas hajachbach, now you can also take it back and sell it again? No. You can't do that.
I'm assuming in this case the book has already been transferred.
Yes.
So it's not just they had arranged a deal.
Correct.
It's actually changed.
Yes, that's correct.
Regardless, even in that case, it's still done.
Vitana tuna. And that's exactly the lesson of our Mishnah. The lesson of our Mishnah is like this. Let's say the deal was for Yafos, for nice wheat. But that's not what was delivered. Venim tu rose. After we looked at what was delivered, we found out what was delivered was bad wheat. Lokeach yachol achzer bo. The buyer can say, hey, I'm changing my mind. It's not what I paid for. I paid for good wheat. I didn't pay for bad wheat. That wasn't a fair deal. However, velo mocher, the seller can't say, hey, you really ordered good wheat. I gave you the wrong thing. I gave you bad wheat. So now give it back to me because I can sell the bad wheat to somebody else. The seller can't do that. He can't do that. He can't change his mind because he took advantage once. We're going to let him now harm a second time. So that was law number one. Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said law number two. Machar lo, what happens if it's the other way? Machar lo shaveh sheish b'chamesh. The seller was the one taken advantage of. The seller didn't want to sell, maybe. And a buyer comes and pesters him, convinces him to sell. So he sells. He says, well, what's the price? The guy says, oh, the fair price is five. Really, the fair price was six, but he didn't know. And so he ended up underselling. He got paid less than he should have been paid. He got paid five for that which is worth six. V'amdu al shalosh. And then, after he was underpaid, the price went down further. Now it's only worth three. So, minasana. So, who was the one who was harmed here? Mocher, the seller, because he was underpaid. He should have been paid six. He was only paid five. So, mocher yachol achzer bo. So, he could change his mind if he wants. V'lo lokeach, the buyer can't change his mind, saying, oh, we know now it's a lower price. I don't want to buy for this low price. I don't want to buy from you from five. I want to give back to you, get back my five, go to someone else, get it for three. He can't do that because we say to him, hey, you took advantage once. Now you're also going to reverse the deal? You can't do that because the buyer, the seller can sell. Ilu lo oni son, had you never harmed us. Love him, matzus hajus bach. And of course there'd be no discussion about you possibly changing your mind because the deal would have been done. So hashta, but now that you harmed us, you underpaid us. So now you're going to do a second injustice. You underpaid us at the moment, and now you're going to make us give you back the money so you can now go buy it from someone else for three. Now you're going to be able to gain by the fact you underpaid us? It can't be. It can't be. V'tana tuna, that's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said like this. Ra'os v'nimtzu yafos. If the deal was for bad wheat, But in the end, what the buyer collected was good wheat. So then, the seller can change his mind, because he says, listen, the deal was for bad wheat. I was taken advantage of by delivering actually good wheat. But you, the buyer who took advantage of me, took the good wheat when you should have been taking the bad wheat, you can't change your mind. So that's exactly like our Mishnah. So Gemara now says, well, my Kamashman, if Rav Chisda's two cases of difference in price is really the same thing as our Mishnah about difference in quality, so then why do we need Rav Chisda for? Masnisani, it's a Mishnah already. So the Gemara answers like this. Imi Masnisani, if I just would have had the Mishnah, I mean, I would have said like this, Tumud Rav Chisda, maybe in Rav Chisda's cases where there was a difference in price, Tarvayu Matsu Hajibu, both of them could change their mind. In our Mishnah, we said that they couldn't change, that not both could change their mind, only one can change the mind. I would say like this. Masnisana Salashmina. The Mishnah would teach us the following. That the buyer can change his mind. Let's say the seller had promised to deliver good wheat, and what was delivered was bad wheat. The buyer can change his mind. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. So how could that, you would have thought, bad, says the buyer. So the way I saw it explained was like this. A buyer never likes whatever he bought. Whatever he bought, he's upset. He's always upset with what he got. He never thinks he got a good thing. He always says, oh, you know, the goods were damaged. It wasn't exactly what I thought I was getting. I was getting something better. You know, he took advantage of me. So I would have thought that since that's what the buyer always says, that's normal psychology of buyers, normal attitude of buyers, if there was a deal for good wheat and what was delivered was bad wheat and the buyer says, hey, it was bad wheat, this is not what I ordered, we say, you're always going to say it's bad wheat. Whatever we would deliver to you, you'd say it's bad wheat. So you can't change your mind. You have no credibility to say it's bad wheat and you didn't order that. Whatever we would have given you, you would have said it's bad and you didn't order that. So that's what he would have said regardless. That's the chiddush. No, we don't say that. We say that, no, there's an objectively good and objectively bad. Here he promised the good, he delivered the bad. The buyer can change his mind. So we said that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. But in a case where there's a difference in price, where he was supposed to be paying 5, he ended up paying 6, or he was supposed to be paying 6, he ended up paying 5. I'd say both of them could change their mind because now, of course, the deal wasn't done. The prices are off. The prices were fraudulent, so both could change their mind. That's what I would have thought. That's why I need Rav Chisda to say no. Just like in the difference in quality, we say only the one who was damaged is the one who can change his mind and reverse the deal. So too, in the differences in price, only the one who's damaged can change his mind. The one who benefited and took advantage and gained in the price differential can't now come up with a second gain and reverse the whole deal to try to profit in that way.
So if it's like 3 steps already removed, someone sold it.
One second, is he? Yeah. You'll say?
Sold a few times.
Yeah.
What's the time limit? Like by the time the first person could say, well, you committed fraud, I want to.
If there was fraud, there was fraud. Once he discovers it.
Void all the deals?
Once he discovers the fraud, yeah. He can void all the future deals. Yeah.
Isn't there an easier explanation that the Gemara could have given for why Rav Chisda was necessary, which is that the case of the Mishnah was talking about wheat. Wheat is a commodity. The prices of wheat can be established. You can easily say that you were overpriced or underpriced, or perhaps there's a difference between because wheat is easily available. Rav Chisda's statement applies not just to wheat, but applies to everything. So isn't that a much easier explanation that Rav Chisda was necessary to teach us that this halakha applies even to non-commodities?
So apparently in the times of the Gemara, the assumption was that all things were like commodities. All things had going prices.
Except for rugs,
as we learned yesterday.
I mean, items that are extremely rare, they're not fungible.
They're not. So that we already saw. There's no ona on those items that we saw in Bava Metzia. A Sefer Torah, we said there was no ona on a Sefer Torah. Land also has no ona.
If it was Kenyan, you already took it. Can he then change his mind?
Yeah, because he said, listen, I overpaid. This wasn't the deal. This wasn't fair. You took advantage of me so much. I wasn't supposed to be that. I didn't know what I was doing. I would never have done this knowing what's going on here. I'm dealing with a ganav. I wouldn't have done that. Yeah, Izzy, a question.
Yes, I'm saying, why did the mocher Mocher in front of us, in front of the Mocher Mekole. So the Mocher knows what he's selling. If he's selling him something that's in the warehouse, they're saying, I'm selling you Hittim to vote in the warehouse.
Right.
That's different. But if it's the Torah in front of them, how could the Mocher go back?
It was in a covered box. The merchandise was in a sealed bag. Yeah, that's why they were able to have the deception. Okay, so now the next Gemara I saw on a blog post. There's a blog called Talmudology by a doctor in Silver Spring. I think his name is Jeffrey or Jeremy Brown. So the next Gemara talks about
Jewish?
The color of the sun. Yeah, yeah, Jewish guy. So he's, I think, an OBGYN. So he tries to write, he learns Daf Yom and he tries to write like science and the Daf, connections between science and the Daf. So the next Gemara talks about the color of the sun. Is the sun's color white or is the sun's color red? So according to science, the way they understand today, NASA, they say that actually the sun has all the colors. All the colors come out of the sun, but when the rays hit the atmosphere, so the atmosphere bends the rays of the sun, and that's why it appears to us to be be white. But at the night, or in the evening, or in sunrise, when the way of hitting the atmosphere is a little bit different, it appears red. Because the red part of the spectrum of colors is not being refracted. But if you go to the International Space Station and take a picture of the sun would be white from the International Space Station. But we'll see that our Gemara has an interesting explanation about what color is the sun. So Amrav Papa, Rav Papa said, Midiktani Levana, right? Listen to the language here. Shachmatit. Now, chama is the word for sun. So, shechamatit, right? It sounds like the wheat of the chama. And it turns out, levana, turns out that it's white. So now, midiktani levana, you said the wheat turned out to be white. Shema minas, you see that the wheat that is chamatit, that is sunny, is not white. So what is it? It must be red. So that means that the sun is red. Hai shimsha sumkasihi. It means that the sun is really red. Teda, what's the proof that the sun is red? The kasam katsafro panya. That if you look at the sun, right, as it's rising first thing in the morning, or as it's setting late in the evening, what you see is a red orb, a red circle. So you see that the sun is really red. We don't see it as red. That's just because, you know, it's too bright for us to notice it as red, but really, it is red. The reason why we don't see it all day as red, Nohoran Delo Bari, our eye is not healthy enough. There's just so much light of the sun, so we can't perceive that it's really reddish. We get blinded and it looks white to us. But really, in the evening when the sunlight is more reduced and we're not overwhelmed by the sun, we actually get a glimpse of the true color. The true color of the sun is red. That's what Rav Papa said. Meisve, so the Gemara says, I'll challenge you. How could you say that the sun is red? We have a Mishnah in Negaim about Sara'at, about the leprosy on a person's skin. The Pasuk says, Umar ehu amok min ha'or, if the color of the leprosy is deeper than the skin. So the Mishnah says, what does it mean, deeper than the skin? Kemar echama. The leprosy is like the sun, amuka min hatzel, deeper than the shade. Now, of course, when we talk about leprosy, v'hasam lavanhu, there it's white. So that means that the sun color is white, because we're saying that the leprosy is like the color of the sun. So Gemara says, no, that's not what it meant. Kimarei cham, when we say that the leprosy is like the sun, it means it's like the sun in terms of being deeper than the shade. V'lo kimarei chama, but it's not like the sun in terms of its color. Kemarechama, it's like the sun, damukum in atzel. It has to be deeper than, just like the sun is deeper than the shade. The leprosy has to be deeper than the skin. The color has to be deeper than the skin in order for it to be tame. But lo kemarechama, but not like the color of the sun. Deilu hasam lavan. The color of the sun is actually white. V'acha adam. The color of leprosy is white, but the color of the sun is actually red. So the Gemara says, well, this is the thought initially, that Shachmatit proved that the sun is actually reddish. What you just thought initially in this Mishnah, that the sun's color is white. That's why the leprosy has to be like the sun. How could you say that the sun's color is white? Kasam katsafro panya. But we know that in the morning the sun is red, and in the evening the sun is red. So what? How, if it's white, why is it red in those times? So Gemara says, no, I would have thought like this, that the sun is really white. Bitsafra, but in the morning, the chalka bevradi de gan eden. In the morning, the sun is reddish because it's passing the rose garden of Gan Eden. There are roses in Gan Eden, so the white sun reflects the red roses, and that's why it looks red. And the panya in the evening, it looks red, even though it's really white, the chalfa pischa de Gehenim, because it's going by the fires of hell. It's going by the fires of Gehenim. So since it's reflecting the colors of Gehenim, that's why it's red. Some say the opposite. In other words, in the morning when it's in the east, so opposite it in the west is Gehenim. So it reflects the color of the fires of Gehenim. And in the evening when it's in the west, opposite in the east is the rose garden of Gan Eden. So it reflects the roses of Gan Eden, and that's why it is reddish. That's what the Gemara says. A very interesting Gemara, as Rav Steinman Shlita points out in his book, Ayelas HaShachar, this Gemara seems to teach us that Gehenim and Gan Eden are in some way or another a physical spot with physical roses and physical fires, and the sun is reflecting the roses and the fires, whatever that means. The Ben Ish Chai has a tshuva where somebody asked him, he said, you know, we always used to think that Gan Eden and Gehenim were some place on earth, maybe in the lower hemisphere of South America. He said, but now they've traveled. He lived in the beginning of the 20th century, the Ben Ish Chai. So they've traveled over the whole globe. They've gotten everywhere. They've gotten to Australia. They've gotten to South America. Nobody's found Gehenim. Nobody's found Gan Eden. So where is it located? I think the Ben Ish Chai says it's not a physical spot. It's, some spiritual realm, spiritual dimension. But even so, even if it's a spiritual realm, apparently there can be some reflections of what's going on in Gan Eden and Gehenim, and that might color the sun if you think that the sun is actually white, but the Gemara thinks that the sun is actually red.
But we can bring it into physicality, actually. We can mix the time with physicality and spirituality together, so we have all these special times. For example, nets, when you do it, it's actually you're bringing the spirituality down into the physicality. That meaning of this roses, you can actually smell the roses at nets.
Oh, how beautiful.
Because we are above, because we become above nature.
Yeah, it's interesting that both in the United States and in Israel, right, the seat of the leader has a rose garden around it. Maybe they were inspired by the Gemara that Gan Eden has roses, so they wanted to have roses where the
Rabbi, going back to Mr. Brown, he said that it bends the light. The light bends.
The atmosphere bends the light, right?
But we believe it to be diminished light, correct?
Okay.
So it's different.
Why? That diminishes it. The bending, the prism, the bends the light.
The bending, but I thought it's covers rather than bending.
When the light tries to get through the covers, right, it bends, and that's why you get these different shades. But apparently red, I don't know on the spectrum where it is, but it's apparently it goes through. That's why you see the red. All right, so now going further in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Yayin v'nimtza chometz. They had agreed on wine. Instead, what they got was vinegar. So then, Shneim Yecholim Lachzaben. Both of them, either one could change their mind, because each one can claim, I'm the one who was damaged. Maybe this Mishnah is the view of Rebbe and not the view of the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan, they hold that wine and vinegar are really the same type. So if wine and vinegar are the same type, so then how could you say both of them were damaged? Only one was damaged. The Tanya, where do we see this argument between Rebbe and the Rabbanan? We have in the following Braisa. In regards to Truma, we know that the halacha is, in regards to Truma, that you can't, or you shouldn't separate bad stuff for good stuff. on Shuma, but if you did so b'dievet, it works. So yayin v'chometz, if you have wine and vinegar, min echad, chacham say it's one species. It's one species, and therefore, even though you separate it from the bad, from the vinegar, on the wine, on the good, it would work. Rabbi Yomer, Rabbi says, shnei minim, there are two separate species. And since there are two separate species, if you would separate truma, vinegar, for the wine, it wouldn't even work because it's two different types of things. Okay, so now, l'chora, that's not like our Mishnah, that it's one species. Because if it's one species, how could you say that either one could say, I was the one damaged? Because if it's one species, so then it's like the wheat, good wheat and bad wheat. So it's one species. The guy who got the vinegar was the one damaged. The guy who got rid of his vinegar was the one who gained. So the question is not tamer rabbanan. You could even be the rabbanan. Ad kan lo pligi rabbanan leder rabbi elinyin maisu truma ukud rabbi la. Maybe the rabbanan who say that it's considered one species. That's in regards to truma and maisu. Like Rabbi Lot. I'm Rabbi Lot. Rabbi Lot said, "Nine the term in Arala Yafesh Truma So Truma." How do we know that if you took bad wheat and gave it for the good wheat as Truma, it works? Because the pasuk says, "Don't do that." For Lo Sisu Alav Chait, and don't carry a sin. Barim Chemes Chelba Mimenu. When you give its best from it, so im Eino Kadosh. If it's not holy, when you give the worst, Nasius Chait Lama. Why would there be a carrying of a sin? So we can from here the torment arela yafesh truma so truma avul nimekach umemkar. But in regards to a purchase, to kuliyama, maybe everybody agrees that in regards to purchase, it's considered two species, and therefore ikud nichle b'chamre. Some people will wanted wine, v'lo nichle b'chala. They don't want to have vinegar. Ikud nichle b'chala, v'lo nichle b'chamre. Somebody else, he might want the vinegar. He wants to make salad. He doesn't want to drink wine, so he wants the vinegar and he doesn't want the wine. And therefore, we follow that would be the approach.
Is there any circumstances where wine and vinegar would sell for the same price?
Doubtful. I guess if one of them, for whatever reason, was rare or something. Yeah.
Balsamic vinegar, you know,
that. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe they could sell for the same price. All right, next Mishnah. Hamocher peros lechavero. Getting to the means of doing an acquisition. If somebody sells fruits to his friend, okay, so the friend paid me with money, but that doesn't yet make the fruits his. Mashach, if he pulled the fruit, the lo madad, but he didn't measure the fruit, kana he acquired. However, madad, if he measured the fruit, the lo mashach, but he hasn't yet pulled, lo kana, he hasn't acquired. If he's smart and he's worried that I might change my mind since he hasn't acquired, sochres makoman, he rents the place that the fruit is on. That way the fruit is in his chatzir and he acquires the fruit. Halokeach bishtam michaver, if somebody buys flax from me, he doesn't acquire the flax until he moves it from place to place. If it was attached to the ground still, the talash kolshu, even if he cuts a little bit, kana, he acquires that patch of flax, because that's an act of chazaka that would acquire the whole patch. Says the Gemara. Madad, if a person measures the produce that he's buying, v'hiniyach al gabe simta, and then he puts that produce down on an alleyway off of the main street in a quiet area, kana, he acquired, even though he didn't do mashicha. So let's say there's a deal between me and Todd in an alleyway. I come with my wheat to the alleyway. Todd comes. Todd gives me cash. And Todd measures how much wheat he got. Even though he didn't pick up the wheat, since it's in the alleyway, he acquires. So the Gemara says, really? Amar le Reb Zeira le Reb Asi. So Reb Zeira said to Reb Asi, Shema lo shama Rabbi ela b'modi l'toch kupasa. That would make sense if I measured the weed into Todd's utensils. But if Todd just measures on the floor, how would he acquire? Amar le, so Reb Asi said back to Reb Zeira, Dami haim rabbanan, you, Reb Zeira, are like the logami and shishmait, like a person who never learned. Mada l'toch kupasa memrabai. Would we need Rabbi Yochanan to teach us that if Zev measures the wheat into Tod's utensils when Tod is buying, Tod acquires through his utensils? No, the Chiddush is that even though Tod did not put it into his utensils, Tod just measured it, and it's on the floor of the Simta, Tod acquires. Wow. So Gemara asks, Kiblamine, did Reb Zera accept that? Or lo Kiblamine, did he not accept that? Tashma, come in here, prove that Reb Zera did accept it, that you don't need the acquired item to be in the vessels of the Kona, of the acquirer. So long as the item is in a Simta and it's measured there, it's also enough. Tam Reb Yana, I'm a Rebbe. Reb Yana, it's the name of Rebbe. Chatzar HaShutfin, in a courtyard that's owned jointly, Konim Zemizeh, one can acquire from the other. Ma'ilav Agabe Karka, doesn't that mean that they can acquire just with it being on the ground, even though it's not in the Kalim of the Kona? Lo, L'toch Kupasa, Rabbi Yanai meant in the utensils of the buyer. Hachanayim Mestabit, that makes sense. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, I'm Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yaakov says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, if a buyer measures and it's put down on a simta, the buyer did not acquire. So that's against the other lesson of Rabbi Yochanan. He does acquire. You have to say it like this. If he measures into the utensils of the buyer acquires. Where if you measure and you put it on the ground, you don't acquire. Shmamina. So that would sound like that Reb Zera did not accept Reb Asi's interpretation, and that's what makes more sense, that the only way for a buyer to acquire in a simta is if the buyer has the produce going into his utensil. Says the Gemara Tashma, coming to your proof from our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Madad velo mashach. If the buyer measured but he didn't pull the produce, lo kana, he has not acquired. My lav besimta, isn't this referring to produce on the floor of a simta, and even so he doesn't acquire? Well, maybe the measuring of our Mishnah is Birshas HaRab in a public domain. Yachi, if we're talking about a public domain, Amos Reishu, the beginning of the Mishnah. Mashach v'lo madad, if he pulled and he didn't measure, kani acquired. Mashicha Birshas HaRab mikanya, does pulling in a public domain acquire? Aya bayav rava damitar vayu. Abai and Reva both say Mesira Kona Birshas HaRabim. The handover from seller to buyer works in a public domain of an animal. Or in a Chatzar Shein HaShel Shneim in a courtyard that doesn't belong to either. But in a Simta, Meshicha Kona B'Simta, pulling is what acquires in an alleyway. Uva Chatzar Shein HaShel Shneim or in a courtyard that belongs to both of them. Vagba Kona B'Chol Makom. And lifting acquires in every place. So if we're talking about a case of a public domain and that's why the measuring didn't work, Meshicha shouldn't work either. Mesira could work. Hagbah could work. But Meshicha couldn't work. So the Gemara says, no, my Meshicha, Nami Diktani, what does it mean that he pulled? That's what we said earlier. He pulled from the public domain into the Simta. My Meshicha, Nami Diktani, Mirshus HaRabim L'Simta. When he pulls from a public domain into an alleyway. So the way to read the beginning of the Mishnah is like this. If I sell produce to my friend, and my friend pulled from the public domain into the alleyway, then my friend acquired the produce even though he didn't measure it. Or if he measured it in the public domain, he didn't acquire. But if he would measure in an alleyway, then according to the Chiddush of Rav Asi, he would acquire. Ihachi, if that's the case, that the Mishnah is talking about produce in a public domain, Ema Seifa, read the end of the Mishnah. Emaya Pikeach, if the buyer is smart, so okay, he sees that the measuring doesn't work to make it his, so Socher is Makoman. He rents the place where the fruit is. If he's in a public domain, how do you rent the street? Who do you rent from? Are you going to go to the city council? Who are you going to rent from? So the Gemara answers, this is what it means. The end of the Mishnah, you'll have to say, is saying like this. If the produce was in the domain of the seller, if he's smart, so he rents the space where the produce is located. But yes, in a public domain, he can't rent the space because there's nobody for him to talk to rent the space from.
But with the situation with the boat, it was a little different. Remember the boat coming in the driveway that the rabbi gave the example of Venice?
Right.
It's different.
No, it's because, the same thing, simple, no, the alleyway.
I know, but in that case, we said we don't have to rent it from anyone.
He did not like the government. Because you said he pulled it into the alleyway. Here, yeah, he's not pulling it out of the public domain. It's in the public domain. That's what we said. It's the same law. If you're pulling it from the public domain into an alleyway, you would acquire it that way. But if it's left in the public domain, then how are you going to acquire? So that's what we said. That's a different case. It's not in the public domain. When we said that you could rent the space, it means in a private domain. If the seller has the wheat in his domain, you're buying his wheat, so his measuring the wheat doesn't make it yours yet. You're giving the cash doesn't make it yours yet. But when you rent the space underneath it, then it's in your domain, and then you acquire it.
How does this stuff get from the public domain or from the seller's place to this alleyway?